This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's July 30th, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
You know, it's amazing how much you travel and how far apart we are all the time now. It's like we saw each other yesterday and you're like, hey man, it feels like forever since I saw you. I'm like, yeah, I know, it's because you're always going all these places. But I'm sitting here.
Hey, a caged bird doesn't sing, man. I read that once in high school under force of an F. So I was on the road, had a nice, what passes as a vacation in our busy lives now, which meant that I only worked 4 hours a day, taking phone calls and responding to emails and recording podcasts while my friends were out in the pool drinking beer. It's always a working vacation, too, somehow, besides that. And I stopped at one of our favorite poker rooms, Ebro Greyhound Park.
Right.
Up in the panhandle of Florida.
Right.
And always have a good time sitting there. And I stopped it, and there's an interesting thing that I want to talk about now, and we'll probably talk about it more later when it's completed so we can pick it apart. But I was talking to the poker room manager there, Dennis Hone, and he gave me a draft of the room's poker rule book, Chris.
A book. Jeez.
It was like one of those kind of, it's a half-fold kind of pamphlet, but, you know, the really skinny long ones. So if you put it in the back pocket, you look like you're a baseball coach or something.
Yeah.
It's sticking out. And I thought this was really cool. I have never seen this. It's not innovative at all. I mean, Dennis cut his teeth out at the Oaks card room, which I believe is out in the Bay Area of California, and they have one. And then he, on a recent trip, he swung by a bunch of other California casinos and picked up all theirs so he could use them to copy his. But essentially, it goes well beyond, you know, the little list of rules that most rooms put on the wall.
I would imagine.
You know, there's little 10 or 13 rules about, you know, check and raise are permitted and shells and prop players and all that kind of stuff. It's actually very detailed. I don't know how many pages it was. I flipped through it. It took me quite a while just to flip through it, let alone read it. But essentially, almost any dispute in his room can be settled by looking in this book because it's all spelled out there. And the object, obviously, is for consistency in rulings. You know, you got one floor that one day might make a ruling one way, and the next day a different floor might make a completely different ruling on the same situation. So trying to get those to be a little more consistent so his players will know what to expect. I mean, obviously you can't predict every situation, but, you know, a guidebook is better than no book, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the other cool thing is he's like, you know, when we get it done, obviously all of our floor personnel are going to have it, and mandatory reading, like Maya Angelou, and all the dealers are going to get it, but they're also going to make it available to the players, so you can go in that room and pick one up, and after you finish reading Ante Up, that's the priority. then you could start flipping through the rules and reading about it, and I imagine based off our new call the floor segment thing on the forum and magazine and how much people are interested in learning that kind of stuff, that people are going to learn a lot just by reading this book on rules.
Yeah, it's interesting that people can now actually you know, request something like that. You know, a lot of places, some people aren't upfront or transparent, and these guys are like not only transparent, but they're going beyond. You know, I mean, that's pretty wild, and they're printing it at their cost and everything else. So that's pretty pretty high class.
Yeah, and you know, the good thing for the players too is, you know, Dennis was telling me just, but he didn't say this specifically, but by the way he was talking, he wants the players to put pressure on his floor personnel to make the best decisions.
Wow.
Now, you would think there'd be some kind of protective there, you know, hey, you know, what the floor says is final, which is probably still true, but I mean, at one point he said, you know, hey, I want my players to be able to look through here and go, hey, here it is on page 16. It should have been ruled this way, not that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to make the overall quality of the management there better, I would think, or at least a bunch of annoyed floor people. One of the two.
They should make a little slot under the table to keep a permanent copy at each table.
Yeah, yeah, or download a little iPhone app.
That's pretty cool.
It's right here on my screen. Those chips are mine.
You don't think something like this could slow down play, though, right? You don't think guys are going to be like constantly saying, "Wait a minute," and then pull out the book and.
Well, I mean, I guess in a practical standpoint, I mean, when you're calling the floor over, unless you know he's really slow,
right,
or stopping to get a sandwich on the way over before he rules, I don't think the average person is going to be able to flip to a page in this big book and find the rule and be able to argue about it, but. But obviously the smarter players, I think, would have already read and kind of have an idea what the rule is and say, hey, isn't that in the book? Show me where it is in the book. And at that point, yes, it could potentially slow the game down, which is never a good thing. But if you're making a fair ruling, you know, I guess you got to balance.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you'd rather have them get it right and slow the game down a little bit than get it wrong and keep it flowing, you know. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, so it's still in the final proof. They've been working on it for 2 years. That's how long it's taken.
Oh, my God. Well, that's how long Dennis has been there.
Yeah, I know, because he wanted to do it right. So
yeah.
I give him credit for that.
Wow.
It's just going to take a while. So when it's done, though, like I said, we'll take a look at it, and you know, maybe we'll even have him on the show to talk about it or something.
Wow.
But that was kind of cool. And, you know, while I'm on vacation, Chris, I'm always worried about what you're up to. I'm worried that you're just, like, stuck in the house with nothing to do. But then whenever that thought crosses my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's got a TV. So he is going to be set.
TV set. pardon your pun there. But, you know, it's funny. Whenever you go on vacation, you know, I relax a little bit while I'm here. And I do watch a little more television than usual. But it wasn't. You know, it's funny, even though I was trying to not watch poker, no matter what I did, poker creeped into my viewing habits, and I can't stop it. So here's what happened, and the first three things I'm talking about here happened within a span of about 2 hours, okay? So I think it was a Friday night. Because I think, I don't know when CSI is on, but it was the CSI, and it might have been.
CSI is on every night.
Yeah, I know, but I think this might have been the actual CBS, so it's probably Thursday night, maybe it was a rerun, I don't know, but I'm flicking through the channels, and I'm like, ah, CSI is just starting, whatever, and my wife kind of likes the CSI things, so I stopped, we started watching it, and this guy comes on the screen, and I look at him, and I'm like, I know that dude. Why do I know that dude? I know that dude. And I turned to Gene and I said, hey, that guy looks just like Annie Duke's boyfriend. And that also reminds me, too, I forgot to say this. When I was in Vegas, I almost knocked Annie Duke's boyfriend on his ass by accident. Kind of.
By accident?
Yeah, no, it was totally by accident.
The story would have been cooler if you would have left out the two words.
But it was during the Tournament of Champions, and she was, I think, at the final two tables at the time, and I was watching the table, and he was watching her, and I turned, and he turned at the same time. We kind of, like, butted shoulders, and I'm bigger than he is, so I almost knocked him over. And he's like, sorry, dude, sorry. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, dude, sorry. You know, whatever. So, but I was like, oh, my God, that's him. So I'm watching television. I'm like, that guy looks just like him, you know. So the more I watched, the more I was like, this is Annie Duke's boyfriend. So I know he's an actor and a producer, but I didn't think that he'd be, like, in CSI.
Yeah, so, of course, you got to be in the business years before you get to be at that.
Exactly, and he was just like a, you know, his. By the way, his name on this character. Ultimately, I looked up IMDBI or whatever the hell that, you know, IMDB, and I look it up, and sure enough, Joe Reitman was Jackass in episode.
Excellent.
That was his name in the episode, and it was him. I said, gee, that really is Eddie Duke's boyfriend. I can't believe it. This is hilarious. So I'm watching this show. He's on there. And I'm like, oh, my God, can I ever escape poker when I want to, you know? So, like, I change the channel when it ends. I'm flicking through the channels. And now that I've got this digital, you know, high-definition box for my TVs and stuff, I have this channel called Palladia, which is awesome. I mean, I think that Laura would love this channel.
Is it all about highlight balls?
Not pilates, you dumbass.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, this all about music and concerts, all live high definition concerts and then videos and stuff. But literally, as the CSI is ending, I'm flicking through the channels and what's on there? But OAR.
Yes.
So I said, all right, let me listen to this because I know they're gonna play Crazy Game of Poker, and I'm going to want to vomit all over the bed. But let me watch it anyway, you know. So, you know, I watched these guys for about 45 minutes, and I have to tell you something. They suck. they really hit a home run with one freaking song, and I wish we never heard it because they wouldn't let us use it. But you know what? This is not biased. I'm not saying it because they wouldn't let us use it. They suck. I couldn't listen to it anymore. I said, you know what? Screw it if that Crazy Game of Poker comes on. I don't care if that stupid song comes on because I can't take any more of this freaking crap. I had to change it.
I guess this is a bad time to let you know that they emailed us yesterday and are going to let us use the song.
Screw them. I don't want it. I don't want to be associated with that kind of crap. That song, I don't know how they came up with that song because everything else just sucks. And, you know, everybody in the stands, I can see them all leaving, too. I mean, it was hilarious. They're all getting up and leaving, and I'm like, yes, go, go.
Now, my understanding, I have not seen them ever, but they did have a new Top 40 song, which was actually pretty good. I can't remember what it was, something about Shattered, this or that, which was completely different than Crazy Game of Poker. But yeah. My understanding is they're the new Fish.
Oh, yeah.
The new kind of, which was the new Dead.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, traveling jam band where people have no jobs and stuff and just drive around in old Winnebagos and sell hamburgers in the parking lot. Was that the sense of the crowd that
yes,
was leaving?
Yes, exactly. And you know what, too? Until they come out with their own, you know, designer ties and Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor, I don't want to know anything about them anymore. I'm tired of them. They were just terrible. I mean, I really couldn't get through it. I ended up changing it. I couldn't believe it. So when I change it, I'm flicking through the channel some more, you know, surfing, you know. And on the screen, on the little, you know, like when you change a channel on the bottom, it tells you what's on as you're going,
right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
The word Gundam was on the screen. And I said, Gundam? I said, that's one of our listeners, you know. That's the guy who always calls us and stuff from, you know, from Florida. And I'm like, wait a minute. So is this what he's named after? So I stop, and it was on the Sci-Fi channel, and it was some children's anime show.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? Are you serious? Is he named after a children's anime show? So clearly next week during our feedback section, he's going to call in and tell us really what's going on. So I thought I'd bring it up now because I'm like, is he really named after some kids anime character or something? Because that's
or maybe
it's creepy.
A kids anime characters named after him.
I don't know which would be worse, actually. So I want to find out what he has to say. So anyway, those are the three things right in a row that were poker related yet not poker related. And I'm like, can I just get away from this, you know? And of course, I finally settle on the Cincinnati Kid that night.
Of course.
Yes. And the more I watch it, the more I like it.
Yes. Yeah, see? It's an acquired taste. It's not in these bang, boom, shoot 'em up kind of special effects movies that all of us little brain-dead people are forced to watch. Now, you have to work at some of these movies in the 60s and stuff. But you put the time in, and it pays you back.
Yeah. I mean, there were some things that still kind of aggravated me, obviously. But I the more I watch it, the more I want to watch it again. You know, it's kind of weird. And then, of course, on Tuesday, ESPN debuted their World Series coverage, and it was the 50K that Mizraki won.
Right.
They've changed it a little bit, Scott. I want to let the listeners know in case they haven't watched it yet. They have some new graphics. They're bigger and cleaner, so you can see the cards a little more and the suits a little cleaner when it.
Do they have the Fox stat track when you know pitches? go inside and hey, you know, the deal. He pitched the ball, pitched the card a little outside to the seat eight.
Since it's on ESPN, no, they don't have that.
No. All right. Fox is always the innovator in that stuff.
The other thing they did too was they dropped the nuts part of the program, which I don't know if they're going to bring it back.
Dropped their nuts.
They dropped their nuts. So. They folded the nuts on the river. Apparently, I don't know if they're going to bring it up for the main event coverage or not. But it wasn't there for the 50K. Both episodes didn't have anything to do with it. So I thought that was kind of weird. It was sort of a, it was kind of a straightforward, you know, bare bones episode, you know, or episodes because it's back to back.
Right.
But they also introduced something else. They're trying to educate the viewer a little more. They're telling you what UTG means. Plus one means plus two, MP, CU, or C. Now, instead of cutoff, they put CUT, and then they put hijack. So they're putting all these terms next to the players to indicate where they're seated.
They have the assassination seat.
No, I'm gonna petition
ASS
for that.
ASS period.
He's the ass at the table. So I'm gonna petition that. So they've changed it up a little bit. But I'm wondering if the nuts comes back or not, because that's like my favorite part of the show.
Well, here's the thing, Chris. I did a little research while I was on vacation, unaware of this part, but I think I have cracked the nut on here. There are not enough nuts left in the world now for the ESPN to broadcast any, because, you know, Laura has this favorite Pensacola Beach towel that she bought when we lived up there, and so we stopped in when we were on Pensacola Beach, she went to replace it. And they're looking at all these, you know, these little beach shops. You know, they have all the towels hanging from the rafters. So you can kind of see them and pick which one you want. And I mean no disrespect. Well, no, I mean a lot of disrespect for any of our listeners that own this towel. But I looked up and I was like, geez, what happened to just putting the words Pensacola Beach on a towel? Is that so hard now? And I'm like, well, are you sure you don't want that one with a squirrel? And she's like, why do I want a squirrel on my towel? And she looked up, and then she slapped me. Because, seriously, Chris, there's a towel with a huge, more than obscene life form squirrel with major nuts. So I can just see this guy that buys this towel, goes home, goes to the beach, and goes, hey, is this your towel? No, mine's the one with the squirrel with the superhuman nuts. And start giggling. That's what the world is. So, you know, ESPN must have made bank by selling all their nuts to the squirrel towel purveyors of Pensacola Beach.
I bet you never thought when this show started today that you're going to bring up a squirrel with huge nuts. Because I know it's not written in the notes of the show. So that was pure gold right there, buddy.
But seriously, I always liked that, back 20 years ago when I watched poker on TV, I did like the nut segments. So maybe they'll bring it back later on. Maybe they're just saving them up for an all-nut show or something later on.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, speaking of the Cincinnati Kid and nuts, whenever I think of those two things, I always think of the Bard, Mike Faso.
Yeah. And people write it in after he's on. He's like, you guys have to have him on more.
So what a pleasant surprise it was when the hotline comes in and – we're not using it as a hotline because, you know, Faso is like one of the gang. So, but he called in because he had a recent session at one of our local poker rooms here at Derby Lane in St. Petersburg. And he had some funny characters with him. Let's take a listen to this.
Hi, guys. This is Mike Faso with a Derby Lane report. I've got to say that the Omaha 4-8 game out there the other night had quite the cast of characters. I'm all for older folks getting out of the house. In fact, I'm an old fart myself now, but this crew was something else. And just to give you an idea, I've given some of them superhero names. In C1, we have Oxygen Man. He gets his superpowers through a tube going into his nose. C2 is Dialysis Man, a.k.a. Toothless Tommy. He has a gizmo running a tube out of his lower extremities that allows him to play for hours and hours. C3 is No Pants Pete. He has a wheelchair, wears a polo shirt and a blanket, but no pants. I'm not kidding. He scares his enemies to death with his mottled flesh. He may also have a gizmo hidden somewhere. I couldn't really look too closely. Anyhow, the game only breaks if the device batteries run down, so maybe Derby Lane could install a charging station out there next to this table. Anyway, that's all I've got. You can keep the swag unless you've got a biohazard suit I could wear to the table next time.
It's almost like he's in the studio with us. It's great.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, if Heroes had these characters on them and more than just that Hayden Panettiere cute girl, I probably would have watched that show. But I feel like I'm on the set of it every time I go because these are the same guys that I play with.
Yeah.
I don't really get when Omaha became the one step to God's waiting room game, but very interesting. And you know, hey, you always got to credit Faso for his sense of humor.
Yeah, I'm so glad he called in. That's great. If he calls in more often, we'll shoot right up the ratings. You know, we'll be like at number three, right behind. I don't know, This Week in Geek Squad or whatever the hell.
This Week in Geek Squad.
Whatever those shows are called, I don't know.
We can only hope.
Oh, man.
All right, well, it's the time of the show when I annoyingly mentioned that we have a cruise coming up.
Yes.
And I remind folks, even though I've been talking about this for 6 weeks, and I don't think any of our podcast listeners have booked yet, so they're all like, you know, whatever, Scott. You know, forget this free stuff that you're giving me. I don't care. You know, give me a free cruise and I'll be on it. I can't do that. So no news this week on it, but just a reminder to go to antiantmagazine.com/cruise. You got until August 19th to lock in that $299 rate. We are technically 55% booked right now, Chris, but I have five more poker rooms in three different states that are calling me this weekend to give me their orders. And that should bump us up to 85% booked. So
act now.
Yes, yes. Unless you want to force yourself to win a seat, you're going to have to call here pretty soon. Or there's going to be no room at the inn. You're going to have to sleep in the manger.
Well, here's the part of the show where I announce the Apes events coming up because you know how I'm always playing all those things. So... anyway, July 31st, which is this Saturday, noon Eastern time, limit deuce to seven triple draw on PokerStars.com, of course. Check the private tab, and if you want to find out how to get there and play with us, go to antiantmagazine.com/apes, A-I-P-S. And we also have a free roll coming up right after that, August 4th at 9 p.m. Eastern time for Stud 8, my one and only game, my calling. As I like to call it, because Scott used to call Omaha 8 his calling, so Stud 8 is mine.
Hey, and I saw one of our Florida poker room managers this weekend, and he's like, hey, when's your next online tournament going to be? And I'm like, hey, it's Saturday. He's like, awesome, what game is it? And I'm like, limit deuce to seven triple draw. And he's like, oh, man, are you kidding me?
What the hell?
And I'm like, yeah, well, it's all right, it's more money for me. But he did say that they got a 2040 deuce to seven triple draw heads up game going in his room.
Heads up.
Couple internet punks came in and were waiting for a big game to start, so they asked him to spread it. So
wow,
how's that? That's wow. Florida poker now.
There
man.
You go, Florida poker. Deuce of seven heads up 2040.
And speaking of that free roll, you know we've taken a lot of gruff, or actually, I guess I should say, you find a way to shield it.
I think it's guff, by the way. I don't think it's gruff. Is it gruff?
No, I say gruff because there's so much guff that I have to throw an extra letter in there to accurately portray the amount of gruff that I'm getting.
Oh, my God.
But our good friend Godard, he's got our back, man.
Okay.
Even though we used to call him Goddard, he still has our back. And he gave us a little ringy-ding to talk about the free roll.
Ring-a-ding-ding-a-dee-doo.
Hey guys, it's Godard calling to tell you that I just won first place in the free roll. But this is big news for the Anti-Up Nation because all of the work that you've done has made it so that there are only about 30 real players in the deuce to seven free roll, which means that if you do a free roll now, you actually have a shot at winning the $5. And once the 80 or so interlopers were out, I got some good practice in, too, and practice on bubble play. So let everyone know that the free rolls are back in effect until you screw the next one up.
Oh, there you go.
See, that's what I like about our listeners. They have our back, and then they kick us in the nuts.
And they kick us, yeah, that's right. They zing us after
Kick us in the squirrel parts.
Don't you understand, Godard? It's supposed to be the complimentary sandwich. You're supposed to give us a compliment, then constructive criticism, and then wrap it up with another compliment. You're missing the last part of the sandwich there.
Oh, man. And of course, the low turnout for the free roll probably had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that it was Libet deuce to seven triple draw, I'm guessing, right?
Right. Man, are we really just getting to the news desk now? Wow.
All right, we'll have to get through this news desk pretty fast so we can get back on track here. I don't want to become the Oscars here. All right, the House Financial Services Committee voted 41-22 this week to advance Barney Frank's bill to regulate online poker to the House floor. Leadership is likely to attach the bill to a higher profile bill to facilitate its approval.
I want them to attach it to a bill that says they have to protect the president from all bodily harm. They cannot refuse that. This is awesome, though. This is pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody, I didn't see the Vegas odds before the vote, but I don't think anybody really thought that it was going to pass by this wide of a margin. And obviously the appetite to do what the Republicans did back with the UIGA and attach it to a bill that you can't vote against. As much as we complained about it at the time,
yeah,
I'm going to go with the whole turnabout's fair play.
That's right.
Just this time only. After we get this bill passed, then now I want to go back to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Right now, I'm going to stick into that. I'm going to be down the mud and rolling around here. Of course, this is just the House, though. I mean, not much movement in the Senate right now and in our country. It takes both of those things. So,
yeah,
but for right now, we will savor in our small victory.
All right. Well, the World Series of Poker has launched a new UGG Facebook game called Poker Palace, which lets players participate in sit-and-goes and ring games. The game is powered by Playdom Games.
Yeah, and of course, this is on Facebook is free, so you're not going to win any money. But this is the most interesting thing about this, Chris, and I listed other notes, so you can be shocked. I'm going to give you one guess on who owns Playdom Games.
The World Series of Poker?
Disney.
Disney. Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow, that's very interesting.
Now, I haven't looked into what all the games are on Playdom Games. I'm sure there's a bunch with, like, you know, princesses and, you know, lions and
purple
things
dinosaurs.
Like that.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So this is probably just a small portion of the offerings. But you know, the company that does not allow casinos on its cruise ships and effectively is keeping poker out of the Orlando market is going to make a little coin off of poker. I think that's interesting.
Oh, wow. Hypocrites.
All right, and finally, Bruce Buffer, who's UFC announcing catchphrases of, "We are live, and it is time." See, I said that. I have never actually seen it, so there's probably a lot of UFC/Antioch fans laughing at me right now. But anyhow, those catchphrases that are slightly less famous than his half-brothers, "Let's get ready to rumble!" See, that one I know.
I was going to interrupt you there because I think we're going to get sued now, but whatever. Go ahead.
That's all right. That's all right. We don't have enough money. Won the main event of Larry Flynt's Grand Slam of Poker this week.
Holy cow. I knew he had some game, but wow.
Didn't you take a pot off him at some point?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did.
A long time ago on the show, I remember you all
you
were taunting them.
He came into I think it was a Raz. It was one of those things where educational, you know, where they said, "Hey, your play might be taped for an educational video. Is that okay?" And I clicked okay, and it was him next to me, and I beat him out of two pots, pretty big pots. It might have been No Limit Hold'em, though. I thought it was Raz, but it was probably No Limit Hold'em. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, now he's a Larry Flynt champion.
He gets a lifelong subscription to Hustler. That's what he wins. Oh, man. All right, well, we had one hotline call already from Faso and another one from Godar, so let's just keep the ball rolling. 813-448-1120. You call that, and we didn't use it before, or use you before, we might give you something cool. The other guys aren't getting anything, but Chris from British Columbia, he heard us talking about his wonderful place, so he wants to chime in a little bit about that.
I've got a comment to make about the last episode, about BC opening the first legal online casino in North America. We should never trust a government to do anything right. The site was launched on July 16th. It crashed numerous times for the first few days. And by July 20th, the site's been hacked already and is now offline, pending further investigation. That's government for you. Hey, guys, it's Chris Cohen from BC again. I just wanted this helpful shout-out for Jason Hawley and his J-Design cards. I've been using them since shortly after they were introduced into the market a few years ago, well before I even found your show. Yeah, way up here in BC, they're still my favorite cards. Anyways, love the show, guys. Never miss it. Keep up the good work.
Wow.
Well, we didn't say that it was going to work. We just said they were the first to do it.
Chris from BC wasn't complaining to us. He was complaining about his own government.
Which, yeah, exactly.
What was the right that he got when we won the Revolutionary War, and then his country came into existence after it?
I feel like I'm in civics high school. You know, what the hell with all these, you know, voting and Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Can you tell me, you know, who settled the colonies when? Never mind. Go ahead. Go on. Move on.
Don't even try. You don't even have enough experience to come up with a good joke there.
Yeah, I don't even know. I always fell asleep. Sorry, Scott. I had sex in high school. Okay, I wasn't busy listening to the teacher. Okay.
Every news site has its bugs, and maybe they rush this a little bit. I don't know. But we'll give it time. You know, hey, at least they have a buggy site.
Yeah.
In British Columbia, because we don't have a legal government run any site here.
Yeah,
in
exactly. Florida. At least they have a site that can crash.
Right, exactly. Be happy for that. all right, so with Swag, you know, he called us right back and said that he's a big fan of those J Design cards, Chris.
Yes.
He had them even before we found them. It would be kind of cruel of me to actually send him another deck, right? Because he already has one, and those cards, they never go bad.
No, they last forever.
Yeah. So instead, I'm going to send him a $10 Get a Stake staking package from getastake.com. And I don't know whether you can use that on the British Columbia site when and if it comes back, but, you know, maybe.
Never know.
So our mailbag this week, another topical question. This is like a CNN headline news version of Ante Up Today.
Well, I like it because it shows that they're listening. You know what I mean? It's like it shows that they're actually listening to the show and responding in a timely manner. Usually it's like, hey, remember 17 episodes ago when you – no. Sorry, I don't actually, you know. So this is good. I love that it's timely. It's not evergreen. It's you have to use it right now.
Right, exactly. It's going to expire if you don't listen to it
this
weekend. So. All right. So Sean Reed from Tennessee wrote in, and he said he just took our survey, which we haven't mentioned yet. So don't let me move on without explaining to our folks what our survey was. But he said he noticed under the poker room section that there were 3 to 4 poker rooms in Virginia. And he says, I live in Tennessee near the Virginia border. I was wondering how they are allowed in Virginia and why they don't have more rooms across the state. Sean says he lives 10 minutes from one of the off-track betting places and keeps hoping that it will be a poker room one day.
Oh, it's interesting that he sends it in this week, too, because...
Well, actually, he did. That I chose to put it on the show.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, even even
it's
so...
timely!
It still has to be within the last few weeks, so...
Yes.
Virginia, it's just one little town or city, Portsmouth, right? That's
right.
How you pronounce it. And, you know, there was some sort of, they thought there was some sort of loophole in the wording of one of their rules or whatever laws that allowed for you know, games of skill for charity or whatever. And they built these charity halls and nobody ever shut them down. Well, now it's funny that he says this because now they're in the process of trying to shut them down. The actual, what is it, the Attorney General or whatever, the Commonwealth now, has interpreted the laws differently?
It's one of the state attorneys for that region who previously had said that his interpretation of state law was that the law was flawed and that games of skill like poker, which he believes poker is, you know, three cheers for him,
right,
is not banned, so he was not going to enforce anything on these rooms. So all of a sudden, you have a couple entrepreneurs out there that go, hey, all right, wait a minute. This guy is not going to prosecute us if we open a poker hall. You know what? I'm going to open a poker hall.
Yep.
And to their credit, most of them gave you know, a good chunk of their money to charity, so it became a good thing. And then I guess just this last week, Maybe he's getting pressure from other people. He said, you know, hey, I never said that they were legal. I just told you I wasn't necessarily going to enforce anything.
Yeah, and now, you know, we've talked to a few of the people up there, actually, and they want to fight it, but the general consensus is that the guy said, hey, look, you know, I said I wouldn't do anything, but didn't mean they give you the right to do something, and now they're starting to pop up everywhere, and he doesn't want Portsmouth to become this, you know, gambling mecca because of this one little thing he said. So now they're pulling the cops from the places because cops were there for security, and the next thing you know, he's sending out a letter to them, letting them know that it's not legal or whatever, and that they're going to be shut down soon. So they're all in a sort of an uproar there now, and that's why those rooms are open in Virginia, because it's just that one little town. It's not all over the state, and believe me, it's not gonna start popping up everywhere else now, because this is probably going to be shut down. Which is to our, you know, we're very sad about this. We have them in the magazine all the time. We have their rooms listed, and it affects us and our circulation, and we're upset about it as well.
Absolutely. Now, had we put this question on when Sean sent it before all this, my answer to Sean would have been that, you know, poker is a state-by-state kind of thing, and this whole Portsmouth thing is unusual that it's one city in a state. Usually it's a state-by-state thing, and it's so hard to get this stuff passed in states because, you know, until you get some revenue need where all of a sudden people that, like, you know what, I'm not really in favor of poker. And then they say, well, all right, we're going to have to shut down all the schools and let the kids run the streets wild. Oh, you know what? Poker sounds great. Because we need the schools open. That's really what it seems to be taking. And but there is some other stuff going on in Virginia, I hear, to kind of legalize it overall. So give it some time. I just haven't heard anything in Tennessee. So sorry, Sean. You know, feel free to get on a plane. Come down here to Florida. We got poker now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your lovely gift off the swag show is a deck of those beautiful J-Design playing cards that Chris from BC has enjoyed for quite a while. They are from ClassicPlayingCards.com, and they are the official playing cards of Ante Up. And in addition to winning them on the swag shelf, if you send us something, if you take that survey that Sean Reed did at AnteUpMagazine.com/survey, there are a number of prizes, hundreds of dollars worth of prizes, Chris.
Man.
A lot more than we put on one show. Really good stuff. You could take the survey. It doesn't take you very long. It took you, like, what, 4 seconds?
Yeah, it wasn't long.
You skipped all the questions.
I didn't skip all, but it doesn't take long, that's all.
And at the end, when we close it on September 1st, we're going to start drawing names of everybody that completed all the questions, or at least the questions that were required. And you may win any one of these prizes, which do include some J-Design playing cards.
Very cool.
And just real quick, the survey is, we have some fun stuff in there. We got some fun questions about who your favorite TV announcing duo is, and who are the most annoying people in the poker room, and then the rest of it's kind of rating some poker rooms in our coverage area. So, you know, we're interested to see. It's a good way of speaking out and hopefully forging some changes in your rooms.
Yeah, I made Scott take the selection out when it said most annoying person in the poker room, and then it had Chris Cosenza on there.
Yeah,
I made him take that out. I didn't think that was very fair.
I
took
the Chris Costanza.
Don't you ever get tired? Tired of constantly getting the red carpet treatment?
Good evening.
Tired of having all your worries taken care of and knowing that there's a place reserved for you?
Right this way, sir.
Of course you don't. That's why you join PokerStars. After all, our VIP club awards over $3.6 million worth of major on- and offline tournament entries every month. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out more about why other reward schemes just don't open as many doors. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
You know, Scott, when I was out in Vegas walking around, you know, Rio, aimlessly hoping for Michael the Grinder Mizrachi to get back to me so I can interview him, I kept bumping into...
wondering where the Sapphire Gentleman's Club pool area was.
Not so much. So I was trying to not knock over the boyfriends of Annie Duke while I was walking through the halls. But, you know, I mean, you're always walking past these great players, and... You know, I look at him and I say, you know what, we've interviewed him, or, you know, what more can that guy bring to the table? Or, you know, I mean, I've talked to him before and, you know, whatever. So, you know, in the old days, it was like, wow, there's, and then you get him and, oh my God, that's, and then you go get him. And you know, now it's like, did it, done that, been there. You know, I'm like, what? And so I'm starting to run out of people to talk to. And then I start thinking, you know what though? You know, when you see a Johnny Chan or Barry Greenstein, it's worth just talking to him again. So I thought to myself, why don't I come up with like these 10 questions that, you know, I can ask every guy I see, you know, and see how they compare, the answers compare and stuff. So one of the things is, you know, these questions aren't like deep questions. They're supposed to be like, I want to grab these guys for 10 questions for 2 minutes. You know what I mean? I wanted to get them to answer the questions and then say goodbye so I wouldn't, you know, annoy them or hassle them. Plus, you know, they've been on the show for a while. So the first person I talked to was Johnny Chan. And I took the interview, and I'm going to put it in the magazine for this next September issue. And I transcribed the interview, you know, and then I go on to find some other guys. And then I go back, and I'm like, where's my Johnny Chan interview? And I can't find it. I don't know what happened to it. So if you want to hear the Johnny Chan interview, it's not going to happen. But if you want to see and read what he had to say for the questions I asked, pick up a copy or go online of our September issue, which obviously is not out yet. The August issue just landed now. But Johnny Chan had some good answers for his questions. And like I said, they're just easy, standard questions. And the first person I talked to was Barry Greenstein. And then I'm just going to play these back-to-back, and the last one will be Freddie Deeb.
Freddie!
Yeah, two guys who have been on the show. Freddie, of course, didn't recognize me, and Barry didn't either, because, well, let's face it, you know, I mean, I see these guys once a year, maybe. You know, I can't expect them to know who I am. But, you know, I always do the, you know, hey, you remember me? I'm the guy who, you know, whenever they're like, yeah, 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 and then I know they're like, shut up, dude, just ask your question to move on. So, anyway, here's Barry Greenstein, followed by Freddie Deeb, and these are the last two interviews I did while I was out there.
What's your favorite poker game and why?
I just like to play mixed games, as many as games as possible in the mix, because usually people have weaknesses in some of the games, and I'm pretty even at all the games.
So it doesn't matter?
No.
No, just this week you were on the big game. What's the biggest pot you've ever won in any game?
I don't remember. I probably remember more of the biggest pots I've lost. I know on high-stakes poker I lost that $900,000 pot to Jura. That's probably the biggest pot I ever lost. But I don't remember the biggest pot.
You don't remember the biggest one?
Yeah.
How about for you, what's your greatest poker moment?
Probably when I won my first World Poker Tour event.
Okay. Who do you feel is the best poker player in the world?
Well, you know, I think I usually don't like to use that, you know, talk about the best, because it changes all the time. Not everyone's always playing their A game. But, you know, we can all see that the guy with the best results has been Phil Ivey. So, you know, that's why, you know, what else do you have to go on but results?
Okay. Over your career, what is the best poker advice that you've ever gotten from someone?
I haven't really, you know, I've been pretty self-made at poker, so I haven't gotten a lot of advice. But I remember when I was young, for some reason it always sticks out, a professional poker player who told me, you know, when you're around a poker table, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Okay. What do you think that poker needs right now?
I think poker is doing really well. The only thing holding it back are some of the arcane laws. And so, you know, we need the UIGEA overturned and online poker regulated.
Okay, now we know about your Symantec background and things like that. But if you weren't a poker player today, what would you be?
Well, today there's not much else I can do because I'm over the hill. But if I hadn't have gone into poker, I might have gone into medical school and done some research.
Okay. Who's your poker hero if you had one?
My heroes aren't in poker.
Okay, who is your hero?
I admired people like Gandhi and Malcolm X.
Okay. And do you have a poker dream?
I think the only thing that you could consider a dream at this point for me would be winning the main event.
Okay.
And in lieu of that, at least making the main event final table.
Okay. And then my last question is always, how much money do you have on you?
I have a few IOUs in my pocket, so I think it's negative right now because of the prop bets I've lost during the World Series.
Oh, no. Okay. What's your favorite poker game and why?
My favorite? I mean, I really like all poker games. And as long as, you know, there's some dead money in there.
Right.
That's what I look for.
Dead money?
Dead money. I look for good games.
Can you recall in the cash games the largest pot that you've ever won?
The largest pot I ever won in the cash game. I would say close to $500,000.
Do you remember like where or when?
At the Bellagio.
At the Bellagio?
About a couple of years ago.
Which game was it? In the limit?
It was Pot Limit Omaha.
Okay. I just looking for details.
Yeah, it was Pot Limit Omaha.
You have so many great moments in your career. What do you consider your greatest poker moment?
Well, definitely winning the horse tournament.
Winning the horse. The Chip Reese. Absolutely. Yes. Why is that so important, that title?
Well, because it's almost all the games.
Right.
And when you win a title like that, this means that you're good at all the games.
Who do you feel now, at this point, is the best player playing right now in the world, and why?
There is no such thing as the best player in the world. There are a lot of good players. And every day it changes. It depends. You know, there's a lot of good players, and whoever is like more fresh, more rested, more mentally relaxed that day will play the best poker probably.
Okay.
I don't care if it's Doyle or Howard or Daniel Negreanu. If they're not in a good frame of mind and they're not mentally and physically rested, they're not going to play their best poker.
Okay.
So there's no such thing as the best player.
Okay.
There's a lot of good players.
Right.
But who's the best player that day? It all depends on those factors.
That's a good answer. Have you ever gotten poker advice from somebody? And can you recall what the best advice was?
Well, I've never really gotten a good advice. I mean, I've never gotten a bad advice, but I mean, I always probably been told things that I already know.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of whether, you know, you discipline yourself or not. I mean, we all make mistakes, and sometimes for sure we know we are wrong and we're not supposed to do it, but we still do it at the moment because we are not in the right frame of mind, or maybe we're not smart enough to avoid it at that moment. And later on we say, well, what did I fuck up? Because I already, excuse my language, I mean, I already know that I'm not supposed to do that, but you still do it.
Right. Well, what do you think poker needs right now, the game itself?
How long is a dinner break? 90 minutes or 60 minutes?
Is that in the interview? He's asking me questions. That's the 11th question. It's 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes. That's the 11th question. We're going to put that at the end.
I'll be sure to put that in the article. But what do you think? What do you think the poker world needs right now?
I mean, there is nothing that poker needs. It's just poker, all you need is two guys, one guy, you know, to play, and that's a poker game. I mean, there's nothing poker is short of.
Nothing to make it better, or you think it's... Has it peaked? Is it the best it's going to get?
There's nothing that can stop a poker game from going on because people will still play somewhere.
Okay. If you weren't a poker player, what would you be today?
Well, I came here to study as a mechanical engineer, and I went broke. I couldn't get a job. And start looking for a job, and I'm still looking for one.
Okay.
So I'll probably be a mechanical engineer. Or maybe a businessman.
Do you have a poker hero, somebody that you look up to? I know you're friends with Ellie. Or do you just have a hero in general, someone that you've admired over your time?
There's a lot of heroes that I got. And nobody's special. Nobody's different from the other.
Okay.
And the reason is the successful players. You know, like I said, everybody make mistakes and everybody have good qualities in them. So I try to pick up the good qualities all the good players have.
Okay, so what's your poker dream then? What's your next goal, the next thing that you'd like to see happen?
When the main event of the World Series of Poker.
Okay. And then the last question I always ask is, how much money do you have on you?
How much money do I have on me?
Yeah.
Well, right now I'm playing the tournament. I think I'm going to get about 6,000, 7,000.
Okay.
This Johnny Chan for ChanPoker.net. You're listening to Ante Up. Let's play poker.
Chris, we got a lot of kudos on a hand of the week a couple weeks ago from one of our friends that went to Montreal. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's that? There? Yeah, I'm here. What
Where
the hell?
Where did Chris go? I'm sitting here, I'm setting up something, and I hear crickets.
I didn't know what I was supposed to say there. I was supposed to say something there.
I didn't hear you say anything.
I'm waiting for you to say what the kudos were.
Do you need to get
a
boombox out and stand outside your window to get you to talk?
I thought you were going to say what the kudos were or something. I don't know. Listen,
I'm not going to list them. We've got a lot. So people love that hand. You know, that's the one with the kings of the R. They're playing with the French decks, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Today's hand of the week was inspired by that hand of the week.
Okay, cool.
It's a spinoff. It's like the Jeffersons from All in the Family.
By the way, All in the Family, the most spinoffs in recorded television history. It's a true fact.
Wow. See, we're just educating people left and right today.
It's true, Timmy. Think about it. It's pretty sick.
I do the high and mighty government stuff. You do the lowbrow TV stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. Smith goes to Washington. That's pure highbrow.
Jimmy Stewart, man, back off.
Give me good times any day over Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Dynamite! All right, so our new good friend Russ from Ontario was driving to Montreal to see family for the weekend, Chris, you know, like we always do.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
We've got a lot of family in Montreal, too, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And says, of course, he's listening to Andy up in the car.
Of course.
I mean, it's better than hearing Miley Cyrus for the 14th time, you know, when you're doing the Seek on the radio.
You know, people are probably laughing at that, but you really listen to her. That's what's sad. That is what's really sad. I get into your car and I'm like, what is this?
Oh, man. But just as Russ is getting into town, he says we start talking about a hand of the week that took place at the Montreal Casino. And Russ says he decided it was fate and decided to go.
Sweet. I hope he doesn't lose his hand.
See, we should get a kickback from the Casino du Montreal because we sent him business that
That's
day.
That's right. Let's get him to advertise.
All right. So Russ gives us a quick refresher here. Kings are R's, queens are D's, jacks are V's.
Okay.
All right. You got it?
I got it.
Okay. Russ has been at the table for about an hour when this hand occurred. In that time, there had been a few hands that involved trip nines, and there had been even more before I showed up. So apparently trips are running wild.
Okay.
So trip nines were kind of the theme of the table.
Wow.
Game is 1-2 sans limite. All the players involved in the hand had about $150, and Russ's impression of both villains is that they are solid players.
Okay.
You know, hey, this is good. I like playing against solid players. You know, this vacation trip, I met one of my old my best friend since 5 years old. Was there, and he was fascinated by her magazine, asking about stuff, and then asked whether I would, totally school him at poker if we played. And I'm like, no, not at all. Brand new beginner, you're totally gonna take all my money. So we're not even... Solid players, completely different, right?
Right.
Okay. Russ says there are a couple early position limpers, and in mid position, he looks down at double D's.
Double D's, baby. That's queens.
Yep, that's queens. Which actually, wouldn't that be 40s?
What?
All right, so our hero, what's he going to do here with a couple of early position limpers and pocket Ds?
Well, if the standard raise at the table was 6, 3X, then I'd make it like 10. But because it's live and there's a couple of limpers, I would probably make it like 15 or 20 here. Just yeah. Because it's live and really, you know, whenever I play 1-2 San Limi, I always try to, you know, make it like enough that it's going to hurt their stack if they just call. So
yeah, you got to poke them a little bit.
Yeah, you got to poke them a little bit. You can't just say, only four more bucks? Yeah, I'll call. So
no flicking. You got to poke them.
Yeah, I'll probably make it 15 here, maybe 18 or something.
I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
The hands of the week never go well when I agree with you from the beginning.
No, never do.
But fortunately, Russ disagrees with us, Chris.
Okay.
Slightly, I guess.
Okay.
dramatic effect of the hand. he raises to 10, and one of the blinds calls, and one of the limper calls. So, actually, that raise was good enough to get at least one of the limpers out. We don't know exactly how many.
And again, you know, if the standard raise was 6, then 10's right, because 6 and 2 limpers, 8, 10. So that's really the right raise to make if people are respecting the, you know, the rules of ABC poker. So,
right. So that is not in the rule book.
That's right. Ebro does not have that in their rule book, so we can't do that.
All right, so we're three-handed at the flop of 10-10-9.
Okay, that's a good flop for us, actually.
It is. It's we like to see a pair on board. I would like it to be a smaller pair, but that's fine. I'll take the tens, and yeah. And it is checked around to us.
Okay, so
like 30. I guess it's probably 31, 32 in the pot. Minus
yeah,
three.
It's probably 30 that's bucks because of the. Yeah. I'll just go with 30. I'll say 30 bucks in the pot. So, all right. I would bet probably about. 20 or so. That's about two-thirds of the pot, right? So I'd bet about 20.
That sounds wonderful. I would do that. And not only would you do that, and would I do that, Chris, Russ decided that $20 is the perfect bet as well.
Oh, man. It's like hands across America.
Yes.
Hands across North America.
Hands across North America, yes. All right. But, Chris, always a twist in these hands, right? But as Russ is putting his chips in the pot, one of the chips falls out onto the table.
What?
And the dealer calls that his bet. And he can't put the other three chips in because that would be a string bet.
What?
So the bet is only 5.
Oh, man. That's just ridiculous. As he's putting them in and
see,
it
now,
falls
now people,
down?
Exactly. See, people kind of complain about online poker being fixed. And, you know, sometimes you click that fold button online that you would never do live.
Right.
Here's kind of like the reverse thing.
Yeah.
You would never drop chips by accident when you're betting online. So this is only something that happens when you're playing with Gomer Pyle in a live casino. So, I mean, how unfortunate is that? I mean, the big difference between 5 and 20 here.
Yeah. No. And you know what the other thing, too, is I remember, too, when I first started playing in poker and especially no limit, you know, there'd be like a guy would fumble with his chips and they would fall forward and somebody would always chime in and say, hey, in some places that's your bet, you know, and I've never seen it actually happen where someone did it and they made him stick to that being their bet when it's clear that it dropped out of his hand or dropped off his stack while he was trying to bet. You know, I've never actually seen, so apparently they're a little more strict north of the border. The Great White North is a place where, you know, you better watch what you do, because that's incredible. They made him pay 5 only. That's, oh my God, how terrible is that?
Yeah, well, and I don't know if there's a betting line there. Maybe the one rolled in or something. And but, you know, again, obviously Russ did not verbalize his action.
Right.
Tisk, tisk.
Yes.
Which would have prevented this. And, you know, I don't want to get too off track here, but one of the interesting things that Dennis at Ebro was telling me about the book is that in most places, and including his room, the betting line is decorative.
Yeah.
Which I think we talked about on a couple weeks ago. Yeah. You know, hey, if it's on the... And the reason that he says it's decorative is because he wants to give his players an equal amount of space in order to cut out their chips and make their bet. And the betting circle on the table does not allow you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like in that seat like 7 or 8, you got that big, huge well of space.
Yeah.
But if you're like in 5, you got like, you know,
yeah,
you got to be a little munchkin.
Yeah.
So, interesting. I mean, I don't know why we have to put the decorative line on there anyhow. But anyhow, so apparently there was a line in play here, and that's what the dealer tagged him for $5. And I will get moving with the hand here. The other two players called, of course.
Okay, so we go to the turn with 20, 15, 30. So there's like 45 in the pot, right? Roughly.
No, there should be like 35. Remember, because we only had 30 in there.
Yeah, 30 and 5, 15, 50 and 30 is 45.
Sorry, I hadn't taken my shoes off for the show.
So you paid attention in civics class, but math just, you skipped.
I was having sex during math class.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
Yeah. All right, you're right. So $45. The turn is a 9. So it's 10-10-9-9, and both players check to us now.
Yeah, well, you know, he mentions the thing about trip nines being the theme of the table. That just made me laugh before. That's not going to scare me. I mean, these guys are calling. I don't think they call with a 10 or a 9 in their hand. I think that they have something different, like, you know, ace, queen, ace, king, eights, something like that. I really don't. I'm not worried about this 9. I'm going to bet again and see what happens.
All right. Well, we're getting flamed worse than a witch in Salem on the forum for being scared of monsters on the under the the beds and the closets, you know, just hanging out, smoking. So I'm trying to be sensitive to that, Chris, but I think that a 9 is entirely possible here because of the dropped bet. And okay. $5 if I have a 9, I'm not going anywhere with a 9.
It's
not
okay.
Plausible?
Well,
not highly plausible? No, I'm not saying that I'm, oh my God, he's got a 9 and I'm dead now. I'm just saying it's plausible.
It is plausible, although in this game, I think that if I had like ace 9 in this spot and the flop came 10-10-9 and somebody bet 20, I would have called. So,
okay.
I don't know. So, I don't know. I'm betting here with my queen, so I really want to know if somebody has a 9 or a 10. So, I'm betting.
Okay. All right. Well, Russ says, based on the history of trip 9s at the table, I really don't like this card. Boo.
Yeah.
Hearts don't have memories, Russ. If they did, they'd be running the world.
Clearly.
Playing cards would be playing poker with us.
I get a pair of longs.
Alright, so he says, even if you don't believe in streaks of karma, other players might, and it might make them more likely to play with a 9 in hand. Okay, alright, I'll let you win with that one.
Yeah, alright, whatever.
So he mutters, damn nines, and check.
Don't say that, man. Don't.
No, of course, I mean, that's English, come on.
Yeah, no, but not just that, don't give away
les
anything
dames,
at the table.
Les nines. win it, boom, come on.
Are you supposed to pronounce the S in nines? I don't know, but... Anyway, I would never say anything like that. I would just check if I'm going to check, because that's just letting everybody know that you're afraid of it, and then somebody can represent it now.
Or misdirection.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You got a 9 now, and then you want somebody to go, oh, ho, 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 you don't have a 9 to shove on the on the river, and then you got, bam, spank down.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, I would have bet, there was 45 in the pot, so I probably would have bet 20 or 25 there just to see if somebody actually calls or raises me there, and I wouldn't have said anything at all, so...
Yeah, I think that's you.
All right.
All right, but our hero, of course, checks, and he says he's worried about a hand like 8-9 suited that just hit a boat and is trying to trap monsters! Come on, Russ!
That's not possible!
It's crazy! You got the best hand by a mile! All right, the river is a V.
V. That's Jax, right?
Yes, sir.
Jax.
Le Valet.
Okay.
So the blind checks, but the early position player thinks for a bit and raises it to 30, at which point I call the floor and say, he cannot raise!
He has to bet.
He has to bet first. See, Russ is going to hate us now. Loved us before, because we sent him to win this hand, and now we're just picking on him unnecessarily. The early position player bets 30 here to us, and it is on us.
Ooh, well, we don't like the jack for fear that the guy had king-queen. You know, he could have had king-queen. That's a plausible hand to call $5 with and then check. You know what I mean? So,
right.
That's a scary card. But again, because he said damn nines, this guy could have spoken English and knew what he said and thought, I'm going to represent the nine here because he didn't, because he said that. So, I'm going to call, because I was going to bet 25 on the turn anyway, and since he didn't, I've got that in the reservoir now.
Okay, so, yeah, you've already committed it.
So. Yeah, so I'm going to call with my overpair and hope that this guy has his own pair, like, you know, Jack, or not Jacks, because that would make sense. Maybe this guy thinks his ace is good, you know, like an ace kicker, so I'm just going to call and see what happens, because, damn it, I'm not afraid of a monster under the bed, and damn, you know, the naysayer. So, I'm just going to call. I'm not doing anything stupid here. I'm going to call because the other guy's probably not going to call. So,
all right. So can I play the role of the forum here?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're not scared of the monster, why are you not raising here?
Because you're only going to get raised or called by a better hand there. Why risk more chips? There's no reason to risk more chips here. It's a big enough pot that move on. It's a scary enough board that you don't want to be crazy. And the guy who checked could have been check raising, so... I might just call 30 here and see if that guy folds and just be happy to show down my overpair. I don't want to open the betting up again. I just think that this guy, if this guy really had a hand, he could re-raise me with a 10 in his hand, and I'm screwed. So I'd be happy to just call and show it down.
Okay, good. I'll at the forum let you know whether you can live or not.
Yeah, okay.
Because I totally agree with you. But,
okay.
You
know. Yeah, I'm just calling. I'm just calling here.
All right, so Russ decides to call, as you said, because he has no other pair, but lots of hands haven't beat, so he doesn't win a raise. See? All right?
Yeah, yeah.
The other player grabs a big pile of chips. I hope he has steady your hands in, Russ. or actually, no, probably not. I want him to be the shakiest gun in the West here. The other player grabs a big pile of chips and takes a good look at me, trying to get a read. Russ leans back, trying to project confidence. Joe Navarro would be so proud.
Yeah.
But the guy with the big chips actually just eventually just calls the 30.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect a call there. I really thought that guy was going to fold. But whatever. Hey, if we win, more money for us. If we lose, at least he didn't re-raise us. So, or raise us. So, all right. So, I'm since it was just a call, and that guy, it seems odd that that guy bets out now on the river. So, he could have had a jack in his hand. So, I'm going to get guess one guy has an ace, one guy has a jack.
That would be my guess as well. And we would be wrong.
We would?
Both opponents turn over ace rag.
Oh, okay. So we got half right. We were 50-50.
Half right. Yeah. Well, hey, that's failing, buddy. I don't know what public school you went to where you're having sex all the time.
Oh, man. All right. Well, anyway, we did all right, though. We called. Yes. We made the right call, so that's good.
Oh, we win the pot. Now, Russ says in the post log that afterwards, the player who just called at the end asked if I would have called if he had made it 90 to go.
Oh, my God. 90. Nah, probably not. I mean, it's not that big of a pot. $45, not, you know, calling 90 to win 135. I mean, that's just not even close to 2-to-1 on your money. So, probably not.
Plus,
you know,
all those monsters out there, too. You know,
you have to. I mean, if you can smell the bluff, then call. But really, that's a tough call to make. But 30.
You'd have to have squirrel nuts on a towel to make that call, I think. When you only have 150 to start the hand, I mean, really, you're gonna stack off yourself, thinking, being a bravado, you know, pounding your chest there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Monsters or not, I'm sorry. I have a healthy regard for little money I have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's two lessons in this. One, don't say anything under your breath that indicates your true feelings. And two, you know, learn to control your chips. Because if you didn't drop a $5 chip, you know, you would have bet 20 or 25 maybe, and then this guy would have folded his ace rag, and the other guy would have folded his ace rag, and you would have been put in this position. So, I mean, you ended up getting more money for it, but if the guy had bet 90, you'd have been kicking yourself.
Yeah, we'll need to get some an Antioch brand of those wide receiver sticky gloves.
Yes.
That we could sell. I mean, you can see the guy put the chips in the pot, and they're not coming out.
Floor.
Like, slap your hands. Come on.
This guy has stick 'em on his hands. I want him to go to the little Doyle's room and wash them off, please.
All right, Russ. Well, we appreciate that one, you listen to the show enough to deviate from your travel plans. And I'm sure Chris is happy to hear that you did not lose any money on that hand, that
yes.
you won money.
Yes.
And not only that, but you won a free download of the Poker Hand Breakdown Pro, a hand history analysis program for single or mixed games that comes from element26.net. Link is on our antiamagazine.com/partners page if you want, as well as links to a lot of other great stuff besides the Poker Hand Breakdown Pro. And if you want to have your hand of the week dissected by us, or hopefully Lee Childs, who will probably try to bring on the show here at some point soon again, email that to podcast@antiamagazine.com.
Well, I want to thank Barry, Johnny, even though you guys didn't get to hear it, and Freddie for stopping and actually talking to me in the hallways of the Rio. It was kind of fun talking to them, and you know, I missed looking into the nice eyes of Freddie Deeb. So it was a good trip. So. Oh man!
Oh boy!
Did I just say that? I'm Chris Cosenza.
I'm Scott. Straight one lock.
We'll see you at the tables.
AnteUp is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnteUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@anyupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.